We continue our learning. We are in Bava Metzia, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. Now, although karka, real estate, is acquired with either kesef, money, shtar, a document, a deed, or chazaka showing ownership, like putting around a fence or digging in the ground, the metaltal and movable objects are not acquired with money. In order to acquire a movable object, you have to take hold of the object. That means even though money is transferred and it's been paid for, if the buyer has not taken hold of the object, so it's officially not sold, and technically the seller can retract because the sale is not a sale. We'll see in the Mishnah that it's not a person should keep his word, and if someone pays for something, you should give him the object, even though technically it has not been acquired. Nonetheless, officially, that's the halacha, and this is the machlokas, whether this is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. According to Reish Lakish, mos are not konos. Money does not cause the transaction of movable objects, even on a d'oraisa level. Based on the pasuk, it says in Parshas Bahar, v'chisim kru mimkar la'amisecha, when you give or when you sell an object to your friend, o kano miyad amisecha, or it's something that's acquired miyad from the hand of your friend. Davar hanikna miyad liyad. That means that the kinyan takes effect when the object is transferred, and not when the money is transferred. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, no, that's not amidoraisa mos arkonos. The pasuk says, although in the context of hekdesh, we speak about kesef, and we speak about v'kam lo, it's established as his once the kesef is transferred. Midoraisa kesef certainly causes the transaction to take effect. However, the Rabbanan came along and said, no, we want to be strict and say that kesef does not cause the transaction. Why would they do that? So this is Rabbi Yochanan's concern of what we call, that he may claim, the seller may claim, nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah. Literally, your wheat has been burnt in the storehouse, in the silo, in the upper story. What does this mean? So imagine if mos were bikonos, if we would say that money causes transaction. So let's say the buyer gives the seller money. And the seller says, oh, sure, when you're ready, you can take the wheat that's in the silo, come tomorrow. It's already yours. And it's sold and belongs to you. And overnight, there's a fire in the silo. So what does the seller do? He sleeps very comfortably. He doesn't try to save it, try to protect it, because it's already sold, he got his money, and now the buyer will end up losing out. So in order to avoid that, to make sure that the object is going to, the metaltal and the movables will be protected until the last moment when the buyer actually takes hold of it, the Chachamim came along and said, we don't want money to cause the transaction. We want only when the buyer takes hold of the object to cause the transaction. So that will be the acquisition. So that is a din derabbanan. One other important halacha is what we call chalipin. Chalipin, at least in the context we're speaking about, is what we call barter, where we have exchange. So let's say once someone wants Reuven wants Shimon's donkey, and Shimon wants Reuven's cow. So they say, okay, let's the same price. So let's just exchange them. So here there's no money; it's two objects. So the halacha is that once one is transferred, once one of them takes hold of one of the animals, the other one automatically becomes the owner of the other animal, and a person cannot retract. So says the Mishnah like this, Hazahav Kona Es HaKesef. So here, to complicate matters, now money is being exchanged. But here we have gold being exchanged for silver. And the question here is, which one of these is considered the money and which one is considered the object? And we need to know that because, remember, when the money is transferred, according to Halacha, the sale is not a sale yet. And the people can still retract. Buyer and the seller can retract. But if the object has been transferred, so then the sale is a sale and no one can retract. So when we're transferring, someone's exchanging gold for silver, we assume that 25 silver coins equals one gold coin, what's considered the object? So the Mishnah says, Hazahav Kones HaKesef. It's the Zahav, it's the gold coin which causes the transaction of the money now belonging to someone else, which is another way of saying that the gold is the object. Once the gold coin has been transferred, that's like the object is being transferred, and if the sale is already a sale. Why? Because we assume that that silver coins are currency more than gold, and therefore they're considered the kesef in this transaction. V'ha kesef eino kones hazav. And the kesef, though, does not acquire the zav, which is what we're saying is, if you've only transferred the silver coins, the gold coin has not been acquired. Next, what about copper and silver coins? Hanachoshes kones hakesef vakesef eno kones hanachoshes. We assume that the copper coins are considered the object, and the kesef, the silver, remains the, because that's the most common currency. And therefore, when the nachoshes is transferred, the copper coins, the sale is the sale. But when the silver coins have been transferred, it's not. What about mos haros? What about when you have, some say this is disqualified coins, other claim that these coins that are not as accepted as other coins. So the mos haros, konos hasayafos, they become the object, and the good coins, the one that are not disqualified, the one that are common currency that are accepted everywhere, that's considered the money. So when someone is, let's say, exchanged for whatever argument's sake, for one good coin, he's gonna give three disqualified or three coins that are less acceptable. Okay, so that transaction happens when the mos haros, the bad coins, literally are transferred, because those are considered the object. V'hayafos einon konos haros. If you give the good coins, that's just like giving money, and the transaction has not taken place. Asimon konos hamatbea. An asimon, we remember what an asimon is. This is unstamped metal. This is where it's not minted. As you don't have the picture of the king, form of the king on the coin at all. So that compared to a regular coin, that's currency, is obviously the object. Even though it's a metal, potentially could become a coin in the future, but right now it's just a piece of metal. Asimon kones hamatbea. So the asimon causes the transaction to take place, so that now the money has to be transferred. So the asimon is the object. V'hamatbea eino kones asimon. The matbea, the coins, vis-a-vis the asimon, are coins, are money. And the asimon, if the asimon hasn't been transferred from one to the other, so then the sale has not taken place yet, even though the money, the coins, have been transferred. Hamitaltalin kones hamatbea v'hamatbea eino kones hamitaltalin. This we know. This is the basis of the whole halacha of the Mishnah. Movable objects are the cause of the coins to be acquired, meaning it's this transfer of the metaltalin, the object itself. V'hamatbea, the coins, eino kones hamitaltalin. They cannot cause the transaction. Zahaklal, this is the general rule, though, and this is what the barter. If when it comes to chalipin, though, where this barter, this exchange, so let's say a para for a chamor or yayin for shemen, so once one object is taken, one person has taken hold of an object, one of them, the other is automatically acquired, and therefore the person, they should not be chosed, they should not revoke the sale. Perek Dal Mishnah Beis is a continuation. Kate, how does exactly does this work? So mashach emenu peros velonos alamos. One person pulled peros. Now peros can be lifted up. If they're very heavy, they should be pulled. We know metaltalin are acquired either with hagbah. Most things can be lifted. Let's say a cow, which can't be lifted, so you pull. Very heavy peros, I guess you could pull. Mashach, mesira, also you can, let's say a horse, you give hold of the reins to take control of it. That's also a way we acquire metaltalin. So mashach emenu peros v'lonas alamo. So one person, the buyer, pulled the peros, but he didn't pay it. Neither the buyer or the seller can revoke the sale at this point, because even though the money wasn't given, the payros were acquired, and there's the understanding that money eventually is going to be paid. But the fact that the buyer already took hold of the payros, the sale is already a sale. No one can revoke, no one can rescind. But if the money was given by the buyer to the seller and he has yet to pull the produce, officially, then either one of them can be chozer, can rescind the sale. Aval amru, but nonetheless, the chachamim have said that's not a good idea. Misha para me anshe dor hamabul midor hapalaga. Hashem, the one who punished, the people of the door of the flood and the door of Megdal Bavel. Who us it? He eventually will come in the future. Para to punish Mimi Sheinu Yomen B'Dibiro. Someone who doesn't keep his word. So someone transferred money. The object wasn't transferred. Oh, I guess I'm going to go back on the deal because the object wasn't transferred. That someone is not keeping his word. They're going to get what we call the Misha Para curse. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shah Kesef Biyado. Whoever has the money in his hand, Yado El Elyona, has the upper hand. So what does this mean? So some say on a simple level, Rabbi Shimon was arguing on the Tanakam and says that who's in control? The mocher. He's the one who has the kesef. That means if the buyer gave the money and did not take hold of the peiros. So the buyer gave the money, didn't take hold of the peiros. So we said, according to the Tanna Kamma, oh, well, anyone can go back on the deal because the peiros, the money may have been transferred, the peiros were not taken by the buyer yet. So says Rabbi Shimon, the only one who has the right to revoke the sale is the mocher. He's the one who has the kestef in his hand. He can rescind. He can be chozer, but the lokeach cannot do so. Nonetheless, based on the Bar Tanur, based on the Gemara and the Rambam, explains that it's not exactly so. It doesn't mean Rabbi Shimon is coming to completely argue on the Tanna Kamma and say that under no circumstances can the lokeach rescind the sale. What he's pointing out is, there are times where the mocher is the one who's going to, who has the right to revoke the sale and not the lokeach, and that's in the following way. And that is that that Rabbi Shimon's coming along to say that if you've had the following situation, let's say the object, and let's talk about the wheat because that was really the whole concern. You have the wheat, and the wheat is not in the mocher on the seller's property. The wheat is on the buyer's is on the buyer's property. Now, why is it on the buyer's property? I thought he didn't buy yet. Well, the wheat is in a cellar, in a silo, that in a building that is on the premises of the lokeach of the buyer, but nonetheless, the seller has been renting that storehouse, that silo from the buyer. So the wheat that's in there belongs to the seller, and he's been renting that area. So says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Shimon, in that circumstance, we assume that only the seller has the right to revoke the sale, but not the buyer. Now, why should that be so? So we remind ourselves that we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that midoraisa mos arkonos. Mos really can cause a transaction. It's the Rabbanu who said that they shouldn't. Why? Because we're afraid that what's the seller going to do? The seller is going to say, oh, he's going to get the money. And then he's going to say, oh, he's going to ignore, not protect the item. He's not going to protect it at all. So that would be true in many cases, but not in this case. In this case, since where is the object? Where's the wheat? The wheat's on the premises of the buyer. If any fire happens, the lokeach, who paid for it already, is going to make sure to take care of it. So in such a circumstance, there's no reason why we should allow the buyer to revoke the sale because money has been transferred. There's no concern at all that, oh, maybe the mocha is going to say, nisu chitecha ba'aliyah, and therefore, the drabbanan concern is not there. We would say that the money is kone, not only doraisa, but midrabbanan. So here's the case, says Rabbi Shimon, that if the buyer wants to revoke the sale, the seller says, absolutely not. The money has been transferred. You have no reason why you should revoke the sale. After all, it was on your premises the whole time, and the whole concern of the Rabbanan doesn't exist anymore. And therefore, since you paid, the sale is a sale.